Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Look to the person next to you and just say Happy New Year if you haven't already. When you say Happy New Year, do you ever realize what you're really saying to someone when you look at them and you say Happy New Year? What you're really saying to them is that you're hoping that their new year is better than the year before, aren't you? Happy New Year. You're hoping that whatever happened to them in the year that's going out, that this year would be a better year. We're verbally giving them a blessing, aren't we? We're verbally giving them a blessing and we're hoping that the blessings are in front of them, and all of their hindrances and all their trials and all their tribulations and everything else is behind them, aren't we? So that, you know, when I look at you and I say Happy New Year, I'm hoping and praying that 2012 would be better than 2011, and if 2011 was good, I still hope that it was better, you know, for 2012. And every year, you know, people stay up later than they usually do, and you know, they come and they want to see the old year go out and then the new year come in. And PA has Pennsylvania has lots of ways to see the new year come in. If you're kind of bored and you don't want to get out, then you can sit in front of your TV and you can watch the ball drop at Times Square, and you can watch others perform, and you can do all of these things. And if you're energetic and you want to get out, you can watch a strawberry drop, you can watch a sled drop, you can watch a pickle drop, and you know, you can do all of these. And I mean, if you go to Lebanon, you can even watch a sausage drop. So you can do all of these things. And just to try to bring in these New Year's, and I think it's kind of funny because I found some out in some other states what they do. Here's what some other states do. There's a watermelon drop in Indiana. There's a pine cone drop in Arizona. There's a beach ball drop in Florida. There's a peach drop in Georgia. But here's my favorite. There's a 1,000-pound piece of cheese that falls in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Who? What person wouldn't want to bring the new year in that way? Truth is that each one of us have this expectation that the new one's going to be better than the old one. Bill Vaughn, an author, says this: optimists stay up till midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up all night to make sure the old year goes. And that isn't it? There's a little bit of truth to that, isn't it? Oprah says this: cheers to New Year's and another chance for us to get it right. And really, truth be told, and I won't comment any more than that, truth be told, is that really, isn't that it? You're really trying to get another chance to make it right. You're trying to get another chance to intersect your life and make sure what was good keeps on being good. What was wrong, you're trying to correct. You're trying to right a wrong, and you're just praying and hoping that in some cases that you just get a break, aren't you? Let's be honest. God, just, you know, I've gone through so many things. How about this year? Just, I need a break. Three things that I want you to keep in mind as we look at a portion of Scripture this morning. Three things to keep in mind of as you go into 2012. And there's more. Each one of us could probably think of some more things. I thought of three things that I'd like to really just maintain in my own life and see in the life of the church. And here's these three things. You know, what's your attitude going to be going into the new year? You take a stinking thinking kind of an attitude into the new year, it's probably not going to get any better. It's probably you're going to make the same mistakes that you made. Your attitude's going to be the same, so you're probably not going to make the changes that you need to make. Attitude. And only you can correct that. Only you could take a hard look at that and realize. So we're going to look at our attitude going into the new year. And then the second thing is what or who are you putting your faith in? Oh, everybody could get spiritual and say, oh, I'm trusting Jesus. But really, is that the case? Is that the case? Is Jesus first in your finances? Is Jesus first in your life? Is Jesus first in your time and energy? You know, is Jesus first in the decision making? So, you know, we all got to be honest, you know. Where is that? What and who are we putting our faith and trust in? And the third part is that, what part do I play? See, because if you just go into the new year and you just begin to think that magically it's going to disappear all the problems, if you think that every wrong is going to be made right, you're going to be deceiving yourself. Because you do play a part in it. Now, granted, we're trusting God to move us forward. We're trusting God in areas of our lives that we have no control. You can't control other people, but you control your own life. You can't make wrong right in somebody else's life, but you can make things right in your own life. And so you really do play a part in it. So if you're just, you know, blindsided, gung-ho, running into 2012, and you just think that magically it's all going to fall in place, by January 2nd, reality probably will hit you already. And you're going to realize that this isn't going to work. So you really do. You have a part in what's going on. You know, this delusion will definitely be exposed. So let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say and tell us in this. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 17. It's really Paul giving us instructions on reconciliation. As you know, he's saying that we've got to make our relationship right with the Lord. And definitely, if you're going into 2012, there should be a reconciliation between you and the Lord. There should be reconciliation between you and other people, and then we can move into the new year, trusting God to lead us and guide us. So starting at verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Father, as we go to your word, I pray that as we look at the new year, as we look at our attitude, we look at what part we play in what happens in 2012, and then we look at your word here that tells us that in Christ we're a new creation, that the old is gone and the new has come. And for some, that's our year. We're hoping that the old is gone and the new would come in brighter, with more hope. But Father, it also applies to our life, and we recognize that, and we ask that there would be reconciliation where reconciliation needs to be, and that there would be hope based upon and putting our trust in you, Lord. And we're just going to give you honor and glory, trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's telling us that all of these things are from God. If you're going to be a new creation in Christ, it's going to come from God. If you're going to allow the old to be gone and the new to come, it's going to be because you're in Christ. He tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ, that we have a representation, that we see things different than maybe the world would see. If you read anything on my Facebook account, it was what I was saying, that you know that the old has to go, and The new has to come. And in one of the statements I said, hey, Happy New Year. But remember who you represent as you go into the world. Christ wants to do a works in our life. Christ desires to do a works in our life. He tells us that we're ambassadors, that we represent Him when we're looking at the world. So let's take a look at these three areas. Number one, what is your attitude towards the new year? Let's be honest. Are you looking at 2012 as an unbeliever with no hope? That's what God says in His Word, that as an unbeliever that has no hope, they're the ones that look at these new years. They're the ones that look at all the circumstances in our lives. And they look at it as an unbeliever, as a person with no hope. Or, Christ says, you can look at it as Christ ambassadors. As having the unlimited resources of God at your disposal. See, I don't like to put God in a box. And I understand that God wants to do some tremendous things. And if I can stop my looking at my own ability only and begin to look at what Christ can do, then I begin to see that, yeah, I'm Christ's ambassador, but He's going to supply all the resources. He's going to meet all the needs. In some areas in my life that I have no control over, there's those areas of other people and those other circumstances that are beyond my control, those are the areas that I give to Christ and say, look, as Christ's ambassador, as knowing Your strength and ability to work in my life, that I know I have all the resources of heaven available, and yet I know that there's some areas of my life that only You can work in, God. Only You are able to do that. Every year offers us this chance of a new beginning and offers us this new hope. But here's my question. How many really take advantage of that? Now here we go again. This is between you and the Lord. So no hands, no nothing. But really, that's what we desire. We desire new hope. We desire that there would be a new beginning. But really, how many believe that? How many are sitting here on January 1st saying, I know without a shadow of a doubt that 2012 is going to be better than 2011 because God is in the center of it and He has control of it. So no matter what circumstances I'm going through, it's going to be better because I'm going through with the Lord. Amen. See, most people look at the new year for a new start. But get this, they carry the old baggage and habits and hang-ups with them. Oh, you didn't like that one. Let me try it again. Most people look at the new year for the new start, but then they bring all their baggage with them. They bring all their habits and their hang-ups with them, and then they wonder why some of these things just continue to happen. Illustration, wife came in the bathroom and she's looking and she sees her husband standing on a scale and he's sucking in his stomach, and she says to him, that's not going to help you. He says, oh, yes, it is. Because if I didn't suck my belly in, I wouldn't be able to see the numbers. And that really... See, we make resolutions. I know some of you made resolutions. I've about given up now giving resolutions. Publicly, anyways. I may keep them in my mind, but then when they don't happen, then I don't have to retract any statements that I make. But we all make these resolutions. We all have this, I'm going to quit this. And they go ahead and name it. I'm going to start this. I'm going to stop saying this. I'm going to start doing this. And all these other things that are going on. But really, truth be told, resolutions very rarely make it past January. By the end of January, somewhere along the line, something's happened and you've fallen short. Something has pulled you away. Some excuse that you could find that it didn't happen. Little boy asks his father. He says, Dad, what New Year's resolution are you making? And he says that he was going to do everything he could to make his mother happy in the new year. So the little boy goes to his mom and says, Mom, what's your New Year's resolution? She says, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure your father does what he says he was going to do. Our attitude will play a part in 2012. Definitely. 2012, we really get a chance to control what's going on. See, because if we're trusting God, we know that it's going to be in God's will. We're trusting God to do these things that need to be done. In the areas of our lives that we can't control, and God's controlling, it's going to stop some worry, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But our attitude is going to make a big difference. If you don't think 2012 is going to be any better, guess what? You're probably going to be right, because your attitude is going to pollute anything that God is trying to do in your life. If you need to be reminded this morning that you need to be in a close relationship with God, can I say that again? If you need me to remind you this morning that you need a close relationship with God, you're probably heading in the wrong direction. If you are trying to fix it yourself, or you're trying this morning to see who you can blame for what's going on in your life, you're probably heading in the wrong direction. See, 2012 can be a renewed purpose when we understand that without the Lord, 2012 will just be another year, another resolution, another goal, but it's not going to be a new life. See, Christ tells us that we can have a new life, that we're a new creation, that things change. But if we're trying to do it all on our own, we're trying to fix it on our own, then we're going to make these resolutions that don't work. We're going to do things that we know we're not supposed to do, where we're going to just be another year, and it's like play it again, you know, over and over in our lives. If you're looking for joy in this life, that you know, now don't get me wrong here. There should be joy. There's joy when we all fellowship together. There's joy in the family. But if your whole purpose is to get joy out of this life, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking for joy without the Lord, at best, it's going to be circumstantial. And if you're looking for peace, the Word of God says that only peace comes from God, and it's not based upon if you have no troubles. See, some of you, you know, we're looking at that 2000 would be really good if I have no troubles. Well, God doesn't tell us that we're not going to have any troubles. God doesn't tell us that outside of Him that we're going to even have peace. You can't have peace in this world without God. And if you're looking for hope, and you're looking for it anywhere without Christ being the center of that hope, then you're really spinning your wheels. You know, you're probably going with what I was talking about being dizzy and being out of control. Because if you're looking for hope outside of Christ, you're in trouble. Because if you have your hope in Christ, we know the end of the story. We know that it's based upon God's strength and wisdom, and we know that God will lead us through this journey and bring us into all of His promises. See, I can preach on attitude. That's probably a whole sermon within itself. But coming into 2012 without an attitude, change, and without Christ being first in your life, offers you little hope, because your hope is in Christ. So number one, you know, you got to look at your attitude. You got to make sure that you're going into this new year with the right attitude. You got to realize that some of the things that you know you need to change, you got to allow God to change it. You can't leave that skeleton door closed any longer. You got to open it to the Lord and allow Him to do that work. Number two is this: what part do I play in this? And like I said before, you know, if you're sitting here thinking that you know, I'm going to do nothing and just miraculously all those changes are going to take place and wherever you had trouble is going to be no trouble, you're looking for trouble. The word here says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, and put in parentheses, she also, is a new creation. And the key words here is in Christ. Because see, a lot of people, and here's where we make some mistakes. There's a lot of people that know of Christ, but He doesn't say that the blessings are going to come for those that know of Christ. He says there's going to be blessings for those that are in Christ. And in Christ is an intimate and personal relationship with the risen Lord. because of Christ's death and burial and resurrection, he offers to us this new life. And we try to cut shortcuts. We try to do it without God being centered in our life, and it doesn't work. And we fall short. And God says, if you just would get it right, if you would realize that there's many that know of me, but there's not many that are in me. And that makes a difference. And he offers us this new life based upon being in Christ, making a decision that Christ is going to lead our lives. And I get Old Testament here on you for a second. Our forefather is the old Adam. You know, and his life was based upon the death because of sin. And the new Adam, which is Christ, is based upon this new life. The problem is, most of us know of Christ, but we're not willing to live in Christ. One is according to the flesh, which we all try to get that. I can fix it. I can change it. I can change this person. I can move to this other area. And, you know, all of these different things that take place. But Christ is saying, you know, one of this is in the flesh and the other is in the spirit. One is you trying to do it and one is me leading you. And this creative process that is undergoing in our lives is redemptive. God is trying to redeem us. And if we're not careful, it gets destructive. See, God wants to redeem us. God wants to change us. God wants to work in our lives. And when we start trying to fix it ourselves, then we begin to get a little destructive. See, all humanity is in Adam. Because of the fall, because of the sin. All of us fall through and we're in humanity are in Adam. But now, here's the good news. All of us that are Christians are supposed to be in Christ. I didn't hear any amens. I must have... Is this on? You know what I'm saying. You know, the fall, we can't do anything about the fall. But we can do how we live in Christ. It's just like the same thing. It's just like ending one year and the start of the new one. Those of us that are in Christ should be letting go of some of the things that we know we need to get rid of. Those things in our lives that God is trying to tell us to get rid of. Those things that are destructive, He's trying to tell us to get rid of so that we could have the redemptive hope and then allowing God to make the changes that we need to make. See, here's the thing. A lot of people, when we pray, we ask God to take these things out of our life. Anybody besides me ever done that? Oh God, take this out of my life. Take this away from me. Oh God, help me to stop doing this. Or help me to start doing this. And we ask God to take these things away from us that we know that are harmful. Yet instead of leaving them, we spiritually just pick them back up. By the time we're even done praying, we pick them back up and we walk away. And you know, God, I keep telling everybody, lay it down at the altar. And I know that's symbolic. And I know, you know, some of you say, hey, I just can't do that. But spiritually minded, that's what we're supposed to do. Lay these things at the foot of Christ and allow God to work in them and not pick them back up. It's like, oh God, help me pick my garbage back up. You know, that's basically what we're asking to do. We set it down, and then we're asking God, would you help me pick this up? I got to get back to my seat. And we miss out on it. We don't do what we say we believe. So this year, here's three things that I think you should leave behind. Leave resentment behind. Leave your worries behind. And leave your failures behind. Starting with the resentment, you know, the only one that suffers from unforgiveness is you. Can I say that again? The only one that suffers from unforgiveness is you. And you weren't meant to carry that load from year to year. And some of us are carrying it literally from year to year. You know, hurts need to be given over to the Lord, not carried around. You know, there's a saying that you wear your feelings on your sleeve. And believe me, I think sometimes that happens because those hurts, we just keep carrying it around and we keep exposing ourselves to more hurtful ways that bring that back to our mind. So, you know, this year we need to lay some of that resentment down. Allow God to do a works and forgiveness in some areas of your life. Worries, you know, people take... take up time and energy. You know, worries take up time and energy. And truth be told, 90% of what you worry about never really happens. But yet we worry about it. We keep picking these things up. If we would put all of that time and energy into things that God desires for us to do, we would be better off. There's two things that probably should be on your mind. Doing things that need to be changed. If God told you to make a change in some area of your life, you need to make that change. And then on the other side of that, that you got to realize this morning that there are some things that cannot be changed. Or at least cannot be changed right now. And those are the things that you have to turn over to the Lord and ask Him to deal with both. God, help me change the things that I know I need to change. And God, help me that the things that I can't change, that You would help me see me through it. And then you're going to have a more productive and a more powerful life that God has. And failures, the other side of that. Here's the thing. I really only believe as a Christian that is seeking God's face, the only failure that we really have, if you're now, Dylan, only you know in your heart, but if you're trusting God and seeking God's face, I believe the only thing that we fail in is if we do nothing. That's the only thing that we fail, because God will help us. If we are in Christ, we're not failures. God calls us a winner. So if there's, you know, no matter how many setbacks you have, if you put Christ first in your life, He's the one that picks you back up on your feet and calls you a winner. And then you're allowed to, you're able to go do what you're supposed to do. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And that is another sermon in itself also. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I realized this morning some of you have been beat up very severely in 2011. I've heard your stories. I've seen your cries for help. Some of it we bring on ourselves. And those are the things that God's saying, you know what, until you get it right, you're going to keep on going through this. And some of those things are unavoidable. And that's the time that we just got to hold on. That's the time that we get white-knuckled in Jesus' name, that we don't let go of the Lord as He helps us to get through those unavoidable times, those things that we have no control over. You know, change the things that you can change and trust God in those unavoidable times to see you through. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So here, let me grab this recap. Number one, all these things that you should be focusing on this morning that you walk out of here, it's embedded in your head. One is your attitude is going to determine what happens this new year. You know, whether you're doing things in your own strength or whether you're going to just trust God to do in this unlimited power and strength of the Lord determines the outcome. You know, number two, what part do you play? Change the things that you can change. Trust God that He's going to work on those things that you can't change. Trusting Him to help you in both circumstances. And the last thing this morning is finding God's will for 2012. Now everybody says, amen. You know, oh God, I'm looking, you know, help me to find Your will for 2012. Sometimes God tells you to dig in. It's tough. You don't like it. But He's telling you to basically, now I'm real spiritual, to suck it up. Suck it up. I know it's not pleasurable. I know it's not a good circumstance. But suck it up. I'm in the midst of this. And you're going to see me do amazing things. And in other things, He's saying, you know what? You're never going to be able to find My will because you're not really seeking Me. You're not really asking Me what my decision. What you're doing is you're making decisions and then you're asking Me to bless that. That's what the Lord's saying. He's saying, first of all, you got to seek Me. First of all, you got to allow Me to do these things in your life. The Word says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You remember nothing else this morning. God does want you to know the will for your life. Who else but God would want you to know the will for your life? He desires to show you. You know, if you only know of Christ and you're not in Christ, you're not going to be able to find God's will for your life. Do you hear me? I'll say it again because it's that important. If you're only know of Christ, meaning that you can throw a couple scriptures around and you attend church, but you're not in a relationship, an intimate relationship with God where God is first and you're not in Christ, well then you're not going to hear what God has to say for your life. And it's going to be hard to find the will of God when God's not in it. I should have heard a couple more amens there too. But maybe you're just processing it. That's okay. God promises us that we can know God's will for our life. God promises, according to His Word, we can know the will of God as we seek His face and as we listen to what He has to say for us. But here, let me give you a couple thoughts here as we just close her down. Do you think the will of God for your life is to worry about everything? This is for someone this morning, really. Do you really think that God's will for your life is to worry about everything? Do you really think that it's God's will for your life to saturate your mind with negative thoughts? Do you really think it's God's will for your life to run around one step from an anxiety attack? And if I haven't got everybody by then, do you think it's God's will for your life that you become that busy that you can't grasp a spiritual thought or you can't grasp a devotion time with Him? Do you really think that's God's will? Last thought. Let me just share this last thought. Establish your priorities. How about on the 1st of January? You make a priority that God must be first. God must be first in the decision-making process. See, because no matter what you say, if you are a Christian, you've got to be asking God for direction for your life. You've got to be. And I'll close with these thoughts. How many would like to see something happen for them and their family in 2012? Let me see your hands again. Just about everybody. Do you have the right attitude to see it happen? Only you can answer that. Is God first in your mind? And if God's not first, what part are you going to play to make Him first? And then the other side of that question is, are you in Christ or are you just, you know of Christ? You know the Christian lingo. You come to church and you've been here for a long time. And, you know, are you in Christ? And depending on your answer there, is God in control of your life? And if He's not, are you willing this morning to let Him be? Are you willing to change the things that you know to change? And are you willing to change and allow God to intercede in those things that you have no control over? Like I said before, you can't control people. I can't control what any of you say and any of you do outside of this body of believers when we come together. We all make our own decisions. And I'm saying, are you willing to change the things that you know to change? And are you willing to change the things that you know God wants you to change? And are you trusting God for the things that you can't change? And let me tell you, there's peace when you come to the realization, I can't do this. I can't fix this. This is all You, God. And I've had prayers like this. God, this is all You. This is bigger than me. This is way beyond my skill level. And God says, that's right. That's exactly right. Now I can do something with it.